Kuf Gimel. I want to point out, you know, you have it right up, I think, that's Yom Shishi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the division of the days was not by the Rosh. The division of the days was that the Tosfos Yom Tov introduced this idea of learning, reading through the Archos Hamad Rosh over the week, weekly basis. So he divided it up into the days, and he also wrote a Yiddish translation to the Yiddish of the Archos Hamad Rosh, which is available. We have it available in the Yiddish. So if you want to teach yourself Yiddish, you can get it. So he divided, but the truth is really the hepshich of the Oisius really is, there's no hefsik. So really, Ois Kuf Gimel is somewhat of a takeoff of Kuf Beis. So in Chatz Chosarna, the Chevron Rosh Hashiva, wrote Iyunim on the Archos Hamad Rosh, also wrote Iyunim on the Sefer Shorim, but he says he sees it as a hemshech. He says, I told you, I'll tear up your chavar neman. Do what it takes to get a chavar neman. So I'll tip this chavarcha b'sif techalokas b'chanifas b'atadar b'lev b'lev. So you might mean that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So I will falsely indicate how much I appreciate him, etc., even though it's not true. So I'm going to be machted to him. I'm going to flatter him in a way that I'm going to convince him to like me, even though it's not deservedly. So I don't really think so. So it's called being medarer b'lev b'lev. I have one true heart, my true attitude, and I'm presenting, as it were, a different attitude. So the hemshach is don't. That's not an option. Let's talk that a little bit. So 2 points. There's a halacha that you're allowed to be mishalem b'mei hasholem. Then a situation where, if necessary, it's necessary to lie, you're allowed to lie to maintain shalom. So what exactly is mutter under the way I understand that halacha? Let's say Reuben and Shimon are good friends. Shimon is an insecure type of person. And he needs to be reassured in the relationship on a regular basis. You might have had a friend like that at some point in your life. You might be that friend. You might be both different stages of your life, right? So, it's a strain on Reuven that he's got a friend like that, and he likes spending time with him, but the pressure sometimes gets a little bit overwhelming. If he tells his friend, you know, I don't like spending too much time with you. Because of Shimon's insecurities, he's going to take that as a statement of rejection. He doesn't want to reject him. He doesn't mean to reject him at all. But he needs some space for himself. He says, you know what? I have something important I have to take care of tonight. What's important to take care of? I need mental health away from Shimon. That's my important thing to take care of tonight. Right? So it's an honest statement, sort of, right? Right? But the message is he's avoiding by saying the truth because the truth would be misinterpreted. So there are two elements of truth in every time that you say something. There's the actual word that you said, and there's the message which is being conveyed. Chazal allowed you to convey a true message with false words. Chazal did not allow you to convey a false message with false words. That they did not allow you, because of Shaul. So I really don't like Shimon. I'm not telling you, Shimon, I think you're a great guy, because that's the pasuk in the Chumash. You can't speak to him one way in your heart, but you think negative about him. I can't. I have no head to that situation to, as it were, give across this false message just because of Sholem. I need to figure out a way to deal with this issue that I really don't like it. Now, I'm not saying you have to necessarily walk over to him and, you know, say, by the way, I hate your guts. You know, I'm not advising you have to say that. I mean, if you want to, you could. But you might have to deal with the circumstances, the consequences. But the musig, you know, you have to deal with this. There's something you really dislike. You have to learn to get over it, whatever it is. But you can't give him a message, I think you're wonderful, and it's not true. That's not fair to him.
Rabbi, what if he comes to you and he asks you what you think about him?
You have to deal with that. You know, figure out a way to deal with it. You can be mishtamet, you know. I don't like talking about my opinions about people. You know, like, I don't know, like, you know, I think you do this wonderfully, you know, but in a case where I really like the guy, just he will misinterpret my action. So this comes up in marriage all the time. Like, you know, women, I once tinted that the Russia created cell phones for one reason only. I've seen many times in my experience over the years, myself being one of those people, standing in the store, what did you want again? Like texting or calling his wife. I've almost never seen a woman standing in the store calling her husband, what did you want again? Right? It just doesn't happen. Right? Because when the husband has to take it, it's important enough to her that she remembers. But the husband, you know, like whatever, like, you know. So now, does he not love his wife? He loves his wife tremendously. Does he care about his wife tremendously? Right? He happens to be that his, you know, he's a scatterbrained, you know, man, you know, they come like that. Right? But if he forgets something that's important to her, she interprets it that he doesn't care. Because when she cares, she remembers. Right? So she says to her husband, do you remember take care of the thing I asked you to take care of? So it's very important. Yeah, I did. Right? What's the message is true, I care about you. Because the issue here is not whether to care of it. That's not the issue. The issue is, does he care about her? That's the true issue which is being discussed at this point in time. And the answer to that is, yes, I care about you very much. How do I tell you I care about you very much? By saying that I took care of some weed that I didn't take care of. That's what Chazal remounted for the Mea Sholem. But husbands, you know, I really don't care about my wife. I really couldn't care less about what she thinks. That's unfair to her. Then you're falsely leading around into a situation which is not true. I mean, they got other problems. They got to go to therapy, you know. But the issue of Chanifus is when the message is false and the words are false. Now it's Shaykh, a situation which is the opposite. Where you have a situation where the words are true and the message. Here we have an example where the words would be true and the message is false. If he said the truth were, I did not take care of it, that's a true statement. No, it's not. Because what was conveyed to the other person was, I don't care about you. And that's not true. So now the Torah, because I was saying the Torah came along and said, we can be, when we have to grapple with the words or the message, what's more important? The true message is much more important than the words. That's the chiddush of Mishnah Nei Hasholem. But if Chanifus is when the message is false, and many times the words are false also. But I'm scared. Betzim, I really would like to stand up to this person and tell him what I think. But I'm scared of the results, so I'll be machnif him. I make him think that I like him or I respect him. You know, I really don't respect him. I think he's, you know, he's an oisefor, right? But I'm scared that, you know, he's an oisefor with a lot of power. Am I allowed to be judicious and, you know, yes, you're allowed to be machnif l'shoyim b'zman hazeh. The more it talks about with limitations. It's one thought. Second thought, the Chazal said there's a lot you're allowed to be machnif to your Rebbe. Right? Teach a Torah. So, you know, you're allowed to make your Rebbe like you. So, again, it can't be false. Rabbi Ehrlich was here for Shabbos, for Yudis of Erfurt. So he ate by us both Sudas. So we had a very good time together. So he spoke Shabbos morning by the Chumashir. He said the Chumashir. He didn't use the Yisariya Torah, but he spoke that. Again, that's a lot to speak. So he said over Yisrael, etc. Fine. The next morning, somebody came over to him and asked him a question on it. He says, you know, I'm in a rush, but somebody actually listened and remember what I said? That's hard to say no to. He says, that's what Chazal meant to be machlef your Rebbe. He says, you know, if you remember what I said a day ago, that's hard. What I said a year ago, that's irresistible. And what I said 15 years ago, I'm your Rebbe. That's what you're machlef your Rebbe. It means that you truly are interested in what the Rebbe has to say. So he'll want to teach you more. Right? So how do you do that? By saying, Rebbe, what do you tell you, Rebbe? I think you're the most wonderful guy in the world. Like, you know, come on, that's not what Chazal meant. Hopefully the Rebbe is beyond that type of a... But it means that the Talmud is showing a true interest in the Rebbe, of what the Rebbe has to offer, in a very exaggerated way to make the Rebbe notice him and focus on him. And that's Chazal, that's mutter. Because I'm not doing something which is false, Batsim. I'm doing it for the purpose of making a connection. You know, and each person, I don't remember what I said a day ago. Somebody else remember what I said a day ago. I remember what I told you. I don't know. Yesterday was yesterday, right? But I have Talmidim here in the yeshiva. Every shir, he doesn't go to my shoes anymore, you know, all the time anymore. But I can go over to him and say, what did I talk about this in this topic once upon it, like 15 years ago? And he'll tell me. Like, that's scary, you know? You can tell you everything Rav Aaron said, like the last, you know, like 18 years, you know. Like, you know. You know, because it's important to him. So that's the chanifah you ought to give to the Rebbe. You know, make the Rebbe like you, because, you know, what he's saying and what he's teaching, you're showing how important this is to you. So I want to connect. The Rebbe would want to teach such a person. Right? Whereas the guy, not really interested in, you know, hearing what I have to say, why would I want to spend time and effort working with him? Okay, that's the second point. I'll just tell you a ma'aseh with that, mostly what it means to be a Talmud. So, the Shira of Chaim Stein, Zichron Lebracha, he was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Telzer. Reb Chaim, there was mother Shiva in Telzer in Europe, his name was Reb Chaim Rabinovich. Who's Reb Chaim Telz, right? So, Reb Chaim Rabinovich. So this was actually put out, this is on loan to the Shiva from Ellie Reingold. I don't know if it's from my house, so I'm storing it here. say better. My wife told me I better find more room for the storm outside of the house. So that's why it's being stored here. So Reb Chaim tells us he was nifter in 1931. She Reb Chaim heard shir from him from 1926 to 1931, which is a full cycle of 5 years. He heard a full cycle of shir. In the 1980s, somebody published his grandfather's notebook of Reb Chaim Telzer Shurim. And we brought it to Shiva Reb Chaim to look at. So this is 50 plus years later. He starts going through the Sefer. Yeah. Nee, you can look down this shit. You can look the Zay and the Zay. Page after page after page. He just went through the whole thing. Correct. No, incorrect. This is what he said. So I had a mice of Shiva Reb Chaim. I went back to Cleveland for a visit. And I went to hear Shir. Actually, it was on Gittin, Sugya of Tankeski. I hadn't been back for a while. I was able to sit and share with a regular Schmuck. Afterwards, I walked the Shiva out. And he says to me, I'm looking between English, he says, last time I said the Shir, I added this and this point. I didn't remember. So I gave him this blank look. So he says to me, I didn't say it last time? So I said, I don't remember. I didn't say it last time. So I said again, after Shiva Yegazok, Kedenkiknit, Chenitkezokt. And it finally hit me that he couldn't imagine that he should say something I didn't remember. So if I didn't remember, it means he didn't say it. I remember saying it, so he was confused. But an option, a Talmud should remember what a Rebbe said. That wasn't an option. So it must be he didn't say it. But he remembered saying it. See, he was like totally confused. So I said, "Shiva Yegazok." He said, "Taka Yegazok." And he was very happy, and I was like, "Whoa!" You know, that's what it meant.